Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Coach Ed Conversations podcast series from Growth Coaching International. I'm Richard Reid, and joining me today is my good friend and co-host, Dan Steyn. Dan, how are you?
Very excited and enthusiastic to be here, Richard Reid.
Good stuff. Very important. Enthusiasm, very important. So thank you, everyone, for deciding to click on the link and listen in to our conversation today as part of GCI's monthly Coach Ed update. So this is now our fourth episode. If you've missed the previous episodes, do please check those out. So we've explored topics such as goal setting, developing a coaching culture, and building rapport in coaching conversations, both online and in person. And we learned a new word last episode, which was proxemics. So if you're intrigued by what on earth that means, please do check out that last episode. And as always, Dan and I hope that our topic today will be of interest to you and help you further develop your coaching practice. So, as before, Dan and I will follow a familiar structure where we will discuss our chosen topic under the following three headings. So, discovery, what have we noticed? Then we'll move on to impact, why does it matter? And then finally, next steps, what has become clearer? Now, our topic for today is questions to explore motivation. Dan and I will consider how the questions we ask as coaches can help motivate a teacher to focus first on improving student outcomes, not teacher outcomes. Because when the goal clearly benefits students, it often becomes more compelling and energizing for the teacher. So, Dan, when you think about questions to explore motivation in a coaching conversation, what have you noticed?
I just think I just want to quickly drop in that I've been using the word proxemics just as much as I can in everyday conversations, and I've never seen more confused looks. So I think I need to work on my definition of it, but that's okay. But what have I noticed? I have noticed that there's more pauses in conversations that I'm having with people, and I'm noticing I'm learning a lot more about the people I'm coaching by asking certain questions to go from their big goal or a sub goal and starting to go, so what difference will that make to? So if I'm coaching a leader, normally they're thinking about something they need to do to empower, build capacity, support their teams, enhance their teams. And I really love the idea of, so if you do that, what difference will that make to your team? And then if you do that, what difference will that make to the students in your school? What is it that you'd be noticing when you're walking through the school that will be different in your students because of that? And there's this real thing where they do almost like what you just did then, Richard, with your proxemics, where you just sat back. You sat back a little bit. For all the listeners, Richard, just lean back a little bit. And coaches that I've been working with, they've done that too, because they're starting to really consider, well, hang on, what is it that I'm actually looking for? And we go from this goal of, say, we need to enhance and, you know, improve collaboration. Now, that does sound lovely, but I'm probably less likely to bounce out of bed saying, oh, I can't wait to improve collaboration, which, don't get me wrong, that's really great. And I do, I love collaboration. But suddenly when they start to say, oh, because I'm starting to see our teams improving their collaboration, the way they share resources, the way they disagree, the way they question each other to really support one another. And then as a result, we've actually got more kids on task. We've got more kids wanting to show up. We've got more kids excited about maths. Yeah, what difference will that make? Well, that means actually I won't be needing to, I don't know, jump in from a disciplinary lens as much, or we won't have those four girls or boys who kept roaming and sneaking out of class because they didn't want to engage in maths. What difference will that make if you're not having to chase and round up or, you know, work and follow up those kids? Well, I actually go home a lot more relaxed, calm. I feel like we're making a real difference. I actually feel like I'm making a difference as a leader that I wanted to make. Now, suddenly that captures and shifts the conversation a lot more from, gosh, we're going to be improving collaboration. Like, it's still a great thing to work towards, but there's that deeper underlying thing. Why do they actually want to do it? Well, because they really want to see a clear impact on the people that they're leading and the kids that are in their school. And they can always, so far, every single person I've coached, there's always a small subset of kids that they're picturing in their head. And I'm sure, you know, you remember your time in schools. I used to go to bed and I'd be thinking of, there'd be this small pocket of kids that I'd be like, if we can just really connect with them, if we can really support them, that'll make a complete huge difference, like a complete difference. So for me, I think the thing that I'm noticing is when we start to say, so, and what difference will that make? And then if you achieve that, what difference will that make? What difference will that make to you, the team, the kids, to that class 4A? And then, Richard, the really powerful thing is, doesn't happen every conversation, but what I've noticed at certain times is after they've told me all of that, I then say, and what difference would that make to your family? Or if I know maybe they, if I'm getting a sense that maybe they don't have an extent, much of an extended family or people around them, I say, you know, what difference would that make to your best friend? What would they notice that's different about you? And so we go from this really big thing that might have started with collaboration to really, I really start to discover what's that core driver for them. So, and I must admit, my mum, she comes from working in health and diabetes education. And so she, I've discovered over the years, she's done a lot of motivational interviewing work to help people explore change and why they would do it. So I often talk to her and just hear little questions that she asks. And she says, these can really support. And I just try them out every now and then. And it's been so helpful too. So some of those questions I've just shared just now, actually taken from her, from other coaches that I've worked with too. But that's what I'm noticing right now in the conversations I'm having.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love that idea of quite often having to move from a big goal, a broad goal, which again is very justified and sounds the part. But as a coach helping that principal, head teacher, school leader, whoever it might be, it'll become a little bit more focused, narrow that down to something and use the word something that's really going to make a difference. And that's where motivation comes in. I love your description, you know, getting up in the morning, you know, about being motivated to be more collaborative. And yes, we want to be more collaborative. But as a coach, being able to help people narrow things in a little bit more. So why does it matter for coaches listening to this to think just a wee bit more about those motivational questions? Why does it matter?
Well, I guess in the end, if we think of the origins of a coach as, you know, a carriage, you know, that form of transport helping someone get from A to B, we're almost trying to think of, so ultimately we're not the one actually driving it because they've got that, the self-determination, right? So they're thinking through, what do I actually want to contribute to? So for us, I guess it's us trying to work out, well, how can we provide the fuel to support the actual journey so that they can move forward? I've sort of been playing, I know coach is quite an old form of transport, so maybe nowadays we might think the big goal is like the car, and then we're trying to work out what's the engine and the fuel required to feed it. So then that way, as we have these conversations, why does it matter? We'll get really clear on the fuel. If we're clear on what's actually wanting to internally or intrinsically motivate them, we can then always come back to that. So I've sometimes found in coaching cycles, if I'm really clear on who some role models are, that they aspire to be like, a sort of like a leader they aspire to be like, or the teacher that they had in grade two, sometimes we can bring it back to them where we say like, oh, what difference will that make? Because that made such a difference to you when you were younger. If we get really clear on their purpose for why they're in leadership or why they're leading, like that's the fuel that we can inject in so that they're more likely to stay motivated. I can't control their motivation, but what I can control is giving them opportunities to consider, is this something that I actually really want to continue to do? Is this the direction I'm still wanting to head to? And do I actually want to commit to the time and energy to this?
I like that. Interesting when you mentioned that idea of the picture of the coach, you know, going back in the good old days. And I was talking about that same image literally only a week ago in a training session. And it was, anyways, it's back to that original word coach, C-O-C-H-E, talking about, as you say, moving from, you know, from A to B, that idea of movement and very much in your thinking. And about modernizing. So the first thing I thought, Dan, when you said that is, you said move from a coach to a car. I'm thinking about an Uber. So we're gonna start a whole new trend here. Instead of coaching, we're going to be Ubering people. Maybe there's something in that. Yeah. Anyway, I digress. But no, I like that idea. And it's really, really useful. So if you take all those different things that you've mulled over before our chat today and shared some of those examples, which I find really interesting, what's become clearer for you as a coach? So, you know, tomorrow, next week, beyond that, you know, what impacts is going to have on your coaching?
Yeah, I think it's always about realizing that if we spend and invest the time, and this connects to our previous conversation about goal setting, it's almost like we designed this series of episodes to build on each other, Richard. If we think about it, the goal is quite a visible, physical form of what they're wanting to see. Like we can see it in action. It's a behavior or it's some sort of thing that will be different that's really visible. And so what's become clear is if we spend the time getting to know the person we're coaching, try to understand what's under the hood, what's the fuel that maybe can help them really fire. If we spend a lot of time understanding, well, why would you bother spending your time? What's the benefits to you? What's the benefits to the people around you? If we spend that time and not rush through just trying to have something outlined and some sort of goal, but if we spend the time getting to know them, it makes the coaching cycle much more powerful. They're more likely to stick towards it. Now, they won't always because things change and we know every time we meet someone, there's been changes that have occurred. But I just think it makes it stickier. They're more likely to stick to it and we're more likely to see the change and the habits occur for it. So I think in the end, that's why we're all in this business. I think that's why we moved from being in education and educational leadership into this coaching world, because we love helping people. So, and the way that we help them is help them achieve what they're wanting to achieve.
I like that connection between making it stick and motivation, because obviously the more motivation you can generate as a coach, the higher the chance, whatever the new learning and the growth is, whatever the change might be, it's going to actually stick. So yeah, that's super helpful. Dan, thank you.
Thank you. And what about yourself? So what is it that you've been noticing when you think of this space around questions to help motivate and bring it back to, I guess, the student focus?
Yeah, this has been a really helpful question for me to think about, Dan, because I'm always conscious that, you know, we're in two sort of slightly different scenarios. So I'm over here in Northern Ireland and we're still really scratching the surface on the coaching world. We're giving a good go, but still scratching the surface, particularly within instructional coaching. Now, we've had our first cohort through back in September time just last year of peer coaching. So we have a number of teachers out there in different schools across the country who are actively taking part in peer coaching, and they are using the impact cycle, which I think is just fantastic. And I've been to a couple of schools to do a little bit of follow-up with them alongside their school principals as well. And certainly working with some of those teachers, because I work alongside with a number of them, initially piloting the peer coaching and then with a little bit of follow-up work. And one of the things I noticed in the coaching conversations is that teachers probably more so here and maybe less with you folks in Australia, they do genuinely tend to begin with goals that focus on themselves. You know, their practice, maybe their strategies that they're currently using or not using, and maybe, you know, something that they would like to improve. So you're getting questions, you know, that are goals like, I just want to improve my questioning skills, or I want to get better at behavior management. You mentioned some of those kids, you know, in your head, if I could just work with those three or four. So if I get better at my behavior management in general, or maybe I want to use a bit more scaffolding in my teaching. Now, as you agreed, you know, all of those are worthwhile intentions, worthwhile goals. But what I've noticed is when we, and it has to be a gentle shift in the conversation towards the students. So reintroducing that idea, you know, how is this going to land with the pupils? Something genuinely interesting happens. So the goal, I think, becomes more clear, because the purpose becomes stronger. And that's where the word, I think, motivation comes in. It increases, you know. So the focus moves slowly but surely to what do I want to improve, to what difference do I want to make for my students. And something that I've noticed is that, as you have said, and this is why I love this topic, the right questions can unlock that shift. So not by telling the teacher what to do, because it'd be very easy to do that, and I've been tempted on so many occasions, but you have to be disciplined, but just simply helping them think a wee bit more deeply about the impact. So if I'm coaching you, and you've suggested a couple of these already, Dan, which are really helpful, and which students would actually benefit most from this goal, you know, yeah, or what would you hope to see students doing differently? You used the word notice, which I think is really important. What would success look like for them? So those kind of questions, you know, help the teacher connect their work to student learning in a more concrete way, and maybe even using that sticky word that you've used, Dan. And I've also noticed, you know, whenever the goal becomes clearly student-focused when we get there. It sometimes takes a bit of work. Teachers then tend to talk with a wee bit more energy and more clarity, and that's the motivation coming in, because the conversation essentially moves from improvement to being maybe a little bit more purposeful when you bring the students up. That's some of the things that I've noticed.
Yeah, and it's such a powerful shift that can happen from when I'm working with schools and when we're talking to people around instructional coaching. So often we say it's easy to get strategy focused or practice focused. So I might be setting really clear learning intentions that are up on my whiteboard, but are the kids actually retaining or transferring the learning? Actually, I don't know. So suddenly if we start to say, well, what is it that we notice the kids doing in the class? The strategy might be clear learning intentions that are being referenced. What do we do? Well, they're actually recalling, they're retaining, they're using new language or vocab or something like that. But it helps them just get, a different perspective. So Richard, given all that, like the fact I listened to you just now and you said it'd be really concrete. So why does that matter? Why does making it really clear and defined and visual to them, the person you're working with, why does that matter?
I think one thing that, and that's why I love these conversations, because it encourages you and me independently, individually, to spend a bit of time thinking about these things, which is no bad thing.
Yeah.
And you know, when it comes to, you know, why does it matter? Motivation in coaching is rarely about pressure or accountability. It's very much about meaning. And that's where hopefully, you know, you get a number of sessions with a teacher over a period of time, so it becomes much more meaningful. And teachers are deeply motivated by seeing their students succeed, as we've alluded to already. So when the goal clearly shows how students will benefit, well then the hope is the work feels more worthwhile for the teacher. You know, the effort that they're inevitably going to have to put in, and these are overworked people already, feels a bit more purposeful. Which then I think increases persistence, because as you know, and Dan, you've been at this a long time, quite often they'll not hit the goal first time. So there needs to be, you know, adjustments. So there needs to be persistence. So where we, you and I as coaches, can increase motivation, then that persistence, I think, is increased. And that comes from the focus on the students. And also, you know, student-focused goals are, I think, in many ways easier to measure, you know. They help us to answer simple questions. So you mentioned a couple already, which I think are really good. So what will the students be doing as a result of you, you know, working on this particular goal? What will we see? What will we hear? You know, those good coaching questions that we ask in our normal sessions. You know, the clarity that we're going to get there reduces a certain amount of ambiguity, and I think that's what builds confidence. And even teachers can see, if they can see small progress, because let's be realistic, you're only going to see little bits of progress, then motivation is going to grow as a result of that. And I think, and this is something that's been really useful for me, it keeps coaching anchored, I think, to its core purpose. So it's not just about improving teaching, it's about improving learning. And I think teachers have that at the heart of what they do. It's all about learning. Now, that's a subtle distinction between the two, but I think it's really important. So when we start with student outcomes, I think teacher improvement will follow, but in a more meaningful way, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. And listening to you outline that, it makes me think of one of the first coaching cycles I did when I was an instructional coach still in schools. And I was working with, you talked about questioning and as a strategy. And this teacher was initially saying, oh, I think I need to improve my questioning. And as we did this, what we found out was there was actually six girls in her class in science classes and maths classes who were highly disengaged. So what she was actually trying to do was use questioning, different kinds of questions. It was really changing between open, closed, probing questions and a little bit of what we might call over here like cold calling, but, you know, setting them up so that they're okay to get called upon. But it really came down to, and you were just saying, then we see a difference in them as they start to accomplish things. She started lighting up because these six girls suddenly over time started engaging, started participating, then started turning up, and they were the first ones in the line when they were getting ready to come into class. Then suddenly they were the ones that were first asked. Now, because she was really intentional, it wasn't that she was forgetting the rest of the class. She knew she had things in place to support all them, but she was just really zooming in on this difference in her class. So it's so powerful. So that's, yeah, I think listening to you talk, it just makes me think of, we can go really broad and vague and big, like questioning strategy and improving questioning. But it really comes down to, you help that teacher picture the exact moment of change that they can really see. So, well, given all of your discovery, Richard Reid, what's becoming clear and that you're looking to take further ahead for your work in your coaching or as you're working with people in coaching?
Yeah, a number of things, Dan, and it's been really helpful. So really thinking about the fact that, you know, motivation is not something that we give to teachers. So, and here's a word that I love, not my word, but I love to use it. It's something that emerges, I think, whenever the goal feels worthwhile. So if you're working with a teacher and, you know, very clearly they think, you know, something, the student-focused goal is actually quite compelling, so it feels worthwhile. And as I say, one of the most reliable ways to strengthen motivation, you know, is to help the teacher see that direct connection between their goal and, as you said already, student success. Being able to bring those two things closer together, I think, is really important. It's also become clear that questions, which is our topic, you know, are one of the most powerful tools we have as coaches. And I think we, and I'm using myself as an example, you know, we need to spend a bit more time really looking at questions. And I know down the line, as a little teaser, we're going to look at questions at some point later on in the year, not to give too much away in the broader sense. But I think that idea is really important. Not complicated questions, because I just trip myself up with complicated questions. I trip other people up with them, so they're not in any way helpful. So not clever questions, but just purposeful questions. In this case, that focus attention on the students. And that's where you see that shift. You know, what difference would this make for your learners? So there's a compelling reason to think about that. And it's our job as coaches to raise those questions. You know, questions bring the goal to life in many ways. And finally, I suppose, what's become clear is that, you know, student-focused goals do not ignore teacher development. And I think that's one of the things that people might get a little bit wary about and think, well, no, I want to improve my this, my that, my the other thing. But actually, if you give this a go and you do start with student-focused goals, then teacher development will come. It's just about getting the priorities thing in the right order. So student improvement, and then ultimately teacher strategy will follow. And, you know, that sequence helps keep, I suppose, coaching grounded and very much an impact. So those are my final thoughts.
Oh, everyone just stop and just soak those in from the wonderful Richard Reid. Richard, or if I just had just one more.
Please do, Dan. Please do.
I think the reason that I get so excited about this work, especially in an instructional coaching lens, is so that teacher I worked with, they, for the rest of their career now, have that as a clear strategy. So it's not just that class that they had back in, now that was back in 2022. For the rest of her career, every single cohort of students are going to get the benefit of that new practice, the way that she approaches things and notices things. So I think that's the exciting thing. It's not just this one group. It's like hundreds of kids that come after them.
It is. It's important. And you know, for folks who are listening, you know, it's important for them to think about that impact that they have. You know, and even listening to our conversation today, short, snappy, you know, on the way into work, on the train, or out for a walk with a dog, whatever it might be, you know, these are easily accessible conversations. It might spark one little thought. So the next coaching conversation that you have, if you're listening, you know, you can take away some of these thoughts, some of these ideas, which you and I both will do as well, you know, the rest of this week and next week and beyond, which is terrific. So Dan, let's wrap it up for now. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts on yet another important aspect of coaching. I enjoy the topics you've been choosing so far. I look forward to them every time. For those of you who are listening or maybe you're watching, we do hope, as always, that our conversation has sparked some ideas, maybe answered a few questions, but ideally has increased your curiosity around how the questions we ask can help strengthen motivation in coaching conversations. If you'd like to find out more about this topic and many others, you know what to do. Check out our website for additional resources, articles, further podcast episodes, and much, much more from Dan and I. We both look forward to continuing the conversation with you on our next episode of Coach Ed Conversations.